This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk here with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio is Bill Lochten. He is the director of Federal Systems Group for a company called Information Builders. Bill, how are you today?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm not going to ask you about the Washington Redskins because I know that's a tough topic here in Washington, D.C., but I am going to ask you about another pretty big topic is how to save agencies money on a whole wide range of applications. And I think that's what Information Builders is all about. You know, some of our listeners here have heard of the company, and maybe some of the company the listeners have said, I've heard about it, do something or other. Give us a little background on you, how you wound up working for Information Builders, and where they focus in for our federal listeners.
Well, I started working with Information Builders about 5 years ago, but my introduction to their products and technologies was many moons ago when we would be involving Information Builders to provide enterprise reporting for CRM applications and ERP applications. And one of the things I thought about Information Builders before I started working for them is that they have an incredible way of being able to satisfy their customer base. And in particular, the Federal Systems Group has and spans back nearly 35 years.
35 years. Wow. So it sounds like it's back in the days when there were cards. Take the stack over to the data system and drop them off and pick up my program the next morning. That goes back a while, doesn't it?
It does. It's a lot of folks remember green screen reporting off the mainframe, and that's where we got our start.
Yeah, there's probably people who are listening to this going, green screen? What the heck? My kid's not going to know what a green screen is, but I sure do. In fact, I remember green screens for many, many years.
Sure.
So what we're talking about is managing data and in the big picture and kind of focus more and more on something called predictive analytics, which is a big fancy pants word, means a lot of things for a lot of different people. But I'm going to let you try to define it for our listeners. And from your perspective, well, what is predictive analytics and what value is it to our listeners here?
Well, to put it simply, predictive analytics allows our government customers to be able to do some what ifs. What happens if we make a change in staffing? What if, you know, there's a change in funding for this program? Traditional business intelligence solutions have been about reporting on what happened yesterday. And the future for business intelligence, at least the way Information Builders is approaching, is not just being able to report on what happened yesterday, but report on what's happening right now and also what might likely happen tomorrow, next week, next month. And I think predictive analytics is all about giving people the tools to be able to understand what might happen next based on history, based on conditions on the ground today.
So if I can try to give my perspective on it, so when I talk to my neighbors and my kids, I say, well, business intelligence is trying to take numerical information and presenting it graphically. Many times it's in some kind of a dashboard, which is tough in and of itself. And so what Information Builders does is it says, your dashboards are fine. Nothing wrong with dashboards. Important to have accurate information in dashboards, but so what? I mean, can you get a dashboard for a year from now? Can you get a dashboard for three? So what you're trying to do is let's take this accurate information you have now and maybe see what happens. Give me a what-if scenario. What if 12 months from now something drastically changes in our IT budget?
Exactly. So we're seeing applications from our customers back to this expected brain drain that's going to happen when the economy picks up and the number of employees in some of our federal agencies starts to shrink. What happens at that point? You know, how do we then plan for the critical work that has to be done?
There's a couple acronyms and pretty complex phrases that associate with a lot of the work that your company does. One is the Government Performance and Results Modernization Act of 2010. Another one is the Improper Payments Eliminate and Recovery Act. And maybe from my perspective and some listeners, give us a definition of what these two acts are all about and how your organization works with them.
Sure. The first one you mentioned was GPRA, or the Government Performance and Results Modernization Act of 2010. And what that does is really reinforce some of the key elements that the administration wants to focus in on terms of improving the effectiveness and the efficiency of government. But when you break this down, it's pretty simple. It's all about government leaders setting clear and ambitious goals for the outcome-focused and management priorities in their agencies. And then, you know, conducting in-depth performance reviews on a frequent basis. And then the agencies measure, analyze, and communicate that information back to the stakeholders. And then try to be able to understand what's working, what's not working. Really what we're talking about is measuring performance from, you know, how our employees are doing against their stated goals to some outward-facing performance program goals and initiatives. How well are we doing in terms of satisfying our constituents in this particular area?
Yeah, the medical role is called fee-based performance, but
sure,
there's a whole lot of different terms there. So then how does that compare with IPERA, IPERA?
The Improper Payments and Elimination Act, and really this is all about being able to uncover where there's improper payments made, fraudulent activities, being able to return money back to the Treasury, back to the taxpayers. And this is a huge initiative. It's been a big initiative for information builders for a number of years, and we've had some real success working and partnering with a number of agencies. And there's a lot of muscle behind this now from the administration. I think you're probably aware of the fact that, you know, this is a targeted area for the administration. What they think today, John, is that there is upwards of $125 million that has been misspent or improper payments, waste, fraud, and abuse that they've targeted. And they want to be able to see that each agency that could be and has programs in this space can have real actionable, you know, work to making this situation to where we can return more money back to the taxpayers. And this is the work that we're doing with a lot of our customers.
Yeah, improper payments. I tell listeners that when I was first married 28 years ago, my wife was a stay-at-home mom, and I got paid once a month. And towards the end of the month, I started counting those pennies. You know, when I was single, I didn't care. And I think that's where we're looking at agencies here, is that they're looking at the next year or two, and they're projecting out, well, you know, the budget's probably going to get cut back somehow or other, and how can they do more with less? How can they take and maybe reduce overpayments and maybe reduce fraudulent payments? And that may, you know, they kind of work both together. I mean, if you can project out in the future and have better performance goals, one way might be to reduce improper payments. It's kind of a yin and yang here, isn't it? Both those acts go together.
They do. I think that what we're looking at right now is identifying some of these at-risk programs. In fiscal year 2010, because we don't have the 2011 data yet, but the 2010 data, there are 18 agencies that identified 79 programs that are susceptible to improper payments, based on some of the risk assessments that they've done. And, you know, when you look at the monies that could be recaptured, we're talking in the billions. I know that the president and the OMB is looking at returning $50 billion in by the end of fiscal year 12.
You know, that's it's shocking when you hear about that. And there's something called the Do Not Call list, and people are signing up for that. But I think the government's coming up with the Do Not Pay list. Are you familiar with that?
They are. And this is something that we're intimately involved in as well. Some of your listeners might know that back in November of 2009, the president issued an executive order laying out a strategy for reducing improper payments through boosting transparency and holding these agencies accountable, and then creating some strong incentives for compliance. And he followed that up in March of 2010 by directing all federal government departments to intensify and expand their payment recapture audits. Then in June there was the establishment of a federal do not pay list so that we're able to have a single source for all agencies to check on the eligibility status of any individual or contractor. So simply put, the do not pay list will catch the contractors who should not be allowed to do business with the federal government.
Great. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about specific products that your company has that can address some of these issues of improper payments and maybe fraud to free up some money for agencies that may not have realized it have coming down the road in a couple years. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Bill Lochten, who is the director of Federal Systems Group for a company called Information Builders.
If you're a federal employee, it's time to choose your health insurance plan. So now's a good time to know about a different health plan that actually rewards you for living healthy. It's called Healthy Blue, and it's the next generation of health benefits from CareFirst Blue Choice. Healthy Blue rewards you with no-cost office visits, x-rays, lab tests, and preventative screenings, plus no referrals. And how's this for a reward? After switching to Healthy Blue, families can earn up to $700 towards their deductible and individuals $300. Healthy Blue is a new and positive approach to health care, and it's one more example of how committed CareFirst is to working with you and your doctor to help you on the road to good health. Visit HealthyBlueRewards.com to see how easy it is to earn up to $700 now and save even more through the years. Then take greater control of your costs and your health by choosing Healthy Blue from CareFirst. You, your doctor, and CareFirst. A healthy relationship.
From the CareFirst Blue Cross Blue Shield family of healthcare plans, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association, some no-cost benefits and rewards are only available through your Blue Choice PCP.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
The Office of Personnel Management has updated its dismissal and closure policy. It still prefers staggered departures, but includes immediate departure and shelter in place as last resorts. OPM's snow policy decision should be online by 4 a.m. whenever an inch of snow or ice accumulates overnight. OPM Director John Barry says he could be accused of overreacting, but he's okay with that. I'm Amy Morris.
These are hard times for federal employees. A multi-year pay freeze, rumors of furloughs, and discussions on reducing benefits are the realities that all federal employees face. Now more than ever, it's important to find ways to save your hard-earned money. One way is with life insurance from WEPA. WEPA offers lower rates and a premium refund policy that's returned over $58 million to its policyholders since 1996. To learn how much you can save, visit waepa.org. Once again, that's waepa.org.
This holiday season, give the gift that money can't buy. When you donate blood with the American Red Cross, you give the perfect gift. Another hug, another laugh, another smile, another chance to someone in need of blood. And unlike the latest fashion trend, video game, or golf club, the perfect gift costs nothing but an hour of your time. Visit redcrossblood.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to schedule an appointment today. Give the gift of life and help unwrap a lifetime of memories for patients in need.
Hello, this is Peter Bergman. Please join the Salvation Army and Bergman's Cleaning for the 20th annual Share the Warmth Coats for Kids in the Needy Drive. If you have one or more cold weather coats that you can spare, please donate them for this worthy cause by calling Bergman's. Bergman's will refresh and clean and deliver them to the Salvation Army for distribution to the needy of the Washington metro area. Thanks to you, over 490,000 coats have been collected in the past 19 years. Please make this year's a success by calling Bergman's at 703-247-7600. Thank you.
Give the gift of Caps Hockey with a holiday gift pack. Caps holiday gift packs include two tickets to three exciting Caps games, an autographed puck, two Caps hats, and two passes for public skates at the Kepler Capitals Iceplex. There's no better way to celebrate the holidays. For more information on Caps holiday gift packs and to find out how you can win an ultimate Caps holiday experience, call 202-266-CAPS. Text HOLIDAY to 43803 or log on to washingtoncaps.com/holiday.
With more than 550,000 federal government workers eligible for retirement in the next few years, it's imperative industries build cooperation with the next generation of leaders in government. Join AFSCEA Bethesda on December 8th for a panel of rising stars from USDA, NASA, DHS, GSA, and the RAC Board to hear their perspective on cloud computing, mobile IT, data center consolidation, and strengthening program management at the Bethesda North Marriott. Register today at AFSCEABethesda.org/DEC Breakfast.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Bill Lochten. He is the director of Federal Systems Group for a company called Information Builders, and they've been around for 35 years. For more information, you can go to informationbuilders.com. That's awful simple, isn't it? Yeah,
it is.
Even I can remember that one. 35 years. My goodness, that's a while back. I wasn't even in grade school, and I was thinking about grade school 35 years ago. But, you know, when I think of companies that have been around for that long, I think of Big Iron and IBM and big, huge systems that are still in use in the government today. And you have a couple different products that work with a wide range of equipment. And I think I wrote down the name earlier. One's called iWay, one's called WebFocus. Are these two your big products?
They are.
Well, tell us a little bit about them. What's WebFocus all about?
Well, WebFocus is all about being able to enable our government customers to make the best decisions, having the right information at the right time. And I equate this to our experiences today in purchasing something off the web. We expect that today, when we go to buy something, that whether or not it's a pair of shoes or whether or not we're acquiring knowledge, we expect that that experience is going to be pretty straightforward and intuitive. If it isn't, we'll just go somewhere else. Having the best information, the most accurate information at the fingertips for our federal government customers should be a given. So WebFocus really makes that a reality. I've heard from one of the industry analysts refer to WebFocus as BI for the masses, business intelligence for the masses. So if you think of WebFocus as the software that provides our federal customers the ability to collect and analyze information, iWay software is the plumbing that enables the information from all different kinds of sources, whether or not it's structured data or unstructured data, email, flat files, information that might be stored in a data warehouse or in an ERP system or a CRM system, to be made available to the WebFocus user immediately.
And it's, for listeners, it's lowercase I, capital W-A-Y. So you were there before Apple was. You were cool before it was cool to have an I in your title.
I think so.
Your company also does a lot of work in the commercial world as well. And I always like to, look at public-private partnerships. I like to compare and give me an idea of how commercial people are using your software versus the way a federal agency would use your software.
I'm not sure if the underlying business problem is really too different from our public sector and our private sector customers. Really, this is all about mining this never-ending deluge of information that we get, making sense of it, and then presenting that information to a user in a format that matches their skill level and their job requirement. That's really what it's all about. I don't think that the requirements are much different from the commercial world to the government world. I think there are some imperatives in the federal space that are getting a lot of attention. One of those is in the area of security. And I think the other is in the area of mobility and making these applications available, to people regardless of whether or not they're sitting at their desk or on a train.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Let's go back in time 35 years. If you go back 20 years, I remember playing around with IBM computers, IBM personal computers, and you'd have a 25-pin serial port, and you get an adapter to make it a 9-pin serial port. And that was really a big breakthrough, and my kids laugh at me when I talk about that, but it was a big breakthrough.
Sure.
And hardware adapters were always important, and they are important in the world today. But I think your company works in the world of software adapters as well.
We do.
And so I would call it a hardware adapter or a data adapter. Is that what you call it? What kind of terms are you use for that?
A data adapter is fine. Going back to the example of, I have a business intelligence solution. I'm providing reporting and dashboards, information to a host of different government users based on their skill level and their responsibility. The difficulty for our government customers is being able to get to information wherever it resides. In the real world, we're seeing that our government customers will pull information from 10, 12, 20 or more different data sources. Could be flat files, email systems, could be a CRM application, it could be an ERP system, or this information could be in a data warehouse. Information Builders takes that pain away from the customer so that they're able to get to information, and it's transparent to the end user how we got it. So they're not having to write and maintain a lot of expensive code. We build those adapters for our customers, and we maintain those adapters.
Well, if you're running an agency and trying to do future planning and trying to be efficient about, you know, the next two or three years, you undoubtedly have information in many different silos throughout your agency. How else can you get a real good pulse for what's going on unless you grab it from different bins is what these adapters allow you to do.
There's been a thought that if we build a data warehouse, we'll put all the information we need in that warehouse. When we go to report off of that warehouse, we'll then have everything that we need to be able to answer the questions, make good decisions. The reality for our government customers is that not everything they need to be able to make good, you know, timely decisions off is in that data warehouse. So we have to be able to get to the information wherever it resides.
We haven't used any proprietary words yet. We haven't said Microsoft or Oracle. I think I used IBM once. I mean, it sounds like, I mean, you haven't pounded on the table and said, yes, this is, it sounds like your company's been around and been involved in many, many different applications, and that's how you can drive so many different, you know, data adapters. So you don't have a preference for one method of, it doesn't, I haven't heard any preference here.
We play well with everybody.
Well in the schoolyard with everyone, huh?
Well, we do. Web Focus will work off of the mainframe. The reporting server can be in a distributed environment. We can have a Solaris operating environment. We can have a Unix environment. We don't really care. We allow the customer to decide what's the most cost-effective, you know, performance, scalable platform for them to deploy, and then we make our software available to them in that format.
So your software could be classified as an integration tool, or could be classified as a predictive. So how would you classify it as some kind of an integration tool?
I think you would classify iWay as that integration technology stack, but WebFocus then is providing at the end user level the information they need to be able to make good decisions.
And you folks sponsored a conference in October. And you brought in a very expensive speaker from Gartner. They charge a lot of money, I know that. And you talked about, you know, optimizing performance in volatile times. Sounds like World War II, or sounds like people in big trouble. It's like after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, volatile times. But you know what? There are some volatile times here. You know, if you read what's going on in Europe, people are saying, you know, it's very volatile. We haven't had these bad times since World War II.
And I
don't want to, you know, scare any audience listeners here, but people know what's going on. There's going to be tough times here ahead. And I think if I were running an agency, I would sure want to have some accurate tools to find out what happens if next year we get pared back 20%. What happens if we get a 10% reduction? I mean, how else can you efficiently manage unless you can have some kind of idea what this scenario is going to play out down the road?
Exactly. You know, our mission has been to enable the government decision maker to have that timely, accurate information at their fingertips. The traditional business intelligence solutions haven't been engineered that way. You know, for years, business intelligence solutions have been really relegated to a few folks that are typically very technical, and then deployed the solutions to a handful, in many cases, of executives. But it wasn't business intelligence for the masses. The cost of the software, the license cost, the support cost, the integration costs were usually prohibitively high, and it would keep for most of our government analysts and our government workers that have important jobs to do in the dark in terms of having the tools to be able to make those kinds of decisions based on actionable information. And Information Builders takes that problem away. We've been able to deploy in the federal government the largest business intelligence solutions, and we're talking in many cases, tens of thousands of users that depend on the WebFocus applications to be able to do their job.
Well, BI for the masses. That's an interesting concept. Let's take a break. We come back, talk more about license and open source software and where you folks fit in. And I want to ask more questions about the methodology behind, you know, deploying some of your solutions and when an organization should contact you and when they should do it themselves and at what is there a threshold where they really have to start worrying about this or how much information should be conveyed to different parts of an organization. You may want to keep it to the as-needed basis, as a popular phrase today. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Bill Lochten. He is the director of Federal Systems Group at Information Builders.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070. AckermanSecurity.com.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today. Or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Defense Department thinks it could eventually save up to $1 billion a year by consolidating its data centers. A consolidation plan DOD just released says the savings will come from reduced energy usage, personnel costs, real estate, software licensing, and other factors. Meanwhile, the department's getting ready to order a moratorium on the construction of new data centers, and several DOD components are adopting a strategy of shared services posted by the Defense Information Systems Agency.
Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology, information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
We raise high for GW basketball. Some raise high with the jump out of your seat, buzzer beating, hands to the sky scream. Others give their all in the GW fight song, Raising High the Buff and Blue. Raising High is more than just a movement. It's the movement for Colonials basketball, where senators and students, friends and families come together for the thrill of victory. Raise High with GW Basketball today. Call 202-994-7325 or visit gwsports.com now.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
At this time of year, we highlight some of the shop and stay packages that help you take advantage of the tax-free shopping over in Delaware. You can check out the Inn at Canal Square in Lewis, the Hampton Inn, and the Boardwalk Plaza in Rehoboth Beach. At the Boardwalk Plaza, they'll even wrap your packages for free when you get back from the outlet.
Nice.
You can check all that out on page 12 of the December Recreation News or at recreationnews.com.
You've got a new contest this month. What is it?
Well, we've got a really great one for families that you can enter to win a night in a suite at the Great Wolf Lodge in Williamsburg, Virginia. You get not only the suite accommodations, but breakfast for a family of four and access to the indoor water park as well. They have a magnificent indoor water park at the Great Wolf Lodge, and you get access to that on the day of arrival and the day that you depart. You can enter in the paper or at recreationnews.com.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Bill Lochten. He is the director of the Federal Systems Group for a company called Information Builders. Been around for 35 years. Work with all kinds of different companies and groups and everything else. You know, Bill, I I seem to get the hint that a lot of people are trying to go from big iron into the cloud, is what the generic terms are for
sure.
All this. And it seems to be a transition that people, because they can save money, it's cheaper, faster, more flexible, and everyone's trying to make it into the cloud. Is this an activity you can assist my listeners with, or where do you fit in this little transition?
Well, we do. Matter of fact, today we already have our applications are running in the cloud, both private and public clouds, which is a really neat thing. I think if we're able to give our customers choices in terms of how they deploy their applications and how they maintain their applications, it's one thing in terms of your software acquisition cost and the services that you have to expend to configure your applications. It's another thing to consider the ongoing cost of maintaining these applications in your own data center, all the environmental issues, all the heating and cooling, and all the other stuff that goes along with maintaining your own environment. Being able to give customers a choice in terms of where they deploy their applications and taking some of that burden off them is a pretty neat thing.
Back in October, you folks sponsored a big symposium and talked about a lot of things. I've got a couple quotes from this, and this really kind of stuns me, the amount of money that's been wasted here. According to the press release from this conference you folks sponsored, $180 million is given out to Americans who've died, $230 million to fugitives or incarcerated felons. I mean, I don't know if I even believe these numbers. These are incredible numbers.
They're huge numbers, and unfortunately, they are true. And they may be actually on the conservative side.
So let's say I'm listening to this and scratch my head going, wow, this is incredible. These folks can help an agency reduce, you know, overpayments. Give us maybe an example of an agency you've used that you've saved some money or helped them free up some money for future projects that they didn't expect at all.
My team just got back from St. Louis working with the U.S. Postal Service. One of the areas that the Postal Service struggled with a few years back was identifying suspicious money order transactions. And some of your listeners might be familiar with the Bank Secrecy Act, but the Postal Service was required and is required to have safeguards and systems in place to be able to identify suspicious transactions. They can't profile individuals, but they can profile suspicious transactions. For example, you or I could walk into any post office today and buy 10 or 15, 20 money orders. As long as the amount of the money order was under $3,000, you and I don't have to provide any identification.
Huh.
So you can see that for folks that are doing bad things, that they can walk into a post office and they can buy a number of money orders, not provide any identification, and be able to launder dirty money. And this is an area of concern for the Postal Service. So they're using our technology along with geospatial technology from ESRI, and they're able to understand the outliers. They can look at any geographic location in the country. They can see the numbers of money orders purchased, when they're purchased. They can see if there's money orders purchased in blocks. And then they can be able to understand, it looks like we're seeing the same pattern on a routine basis. They can work with the employees at the local post office to help them identify if something is suspicious. And then they can be able to mine that data very quickly to be able to take action. The Postal Service is no different than our state and local and federal agencies. They're strapped. They have limited resources. They have their own inspection service, but being able to deploy the inspectors at the right spot based on the best actionable information is a big deal for them. And they've been able to pay for their system many, many times over by being able to understand where these transactions are occurring and then being able to take action accordingly.
And I think that's the key. You know, I had a friend who's got seven kids, and he went out to buy another couch because he goes through couches fast. And he got home, and they called him, and he said, Mr. X, you just had a $2,000 charge on your credit card. Well, yeah. What happened? Oh, I just bought a couch. Oh, okay.
Right.
But what they were doing is exactly so. Predictive analytics looks at the outliers, and
sure
Bob,
is.
Who never buys anything, had a $2,000 charge. I figured, well, maybe he has cards stolen, and that guy Bill stole it from him and bought some expensive couch
exactly
or something.
Right.
And so, and I guess that's what I think of predictive analytics. I think of someone smart looking at numbers and trying to define what an outlier is, and that concept of defining an outlier may change over time.
Right. And I think that the future for predictive analytics is so bright, because in the past, these kinds of systems were dependent on really smart people, really technical people that would build these really complex models. But today, predictive analytics is being deployed at the more practical level. And we're seeing that that requirement is part and parcel in just about every engagement that we have with our federal customers today. They want to be able to see what might happen tomorrow based on, you know, conditions on the ground today.
I know people who work in the security industry, and their background is in behavioral psychology. And they can take that skill set and apply it to this world, because finally, if you have BI for the masses, you don't have to know all kinds of calculus to be able to figure out what's going on. You can take the analytical part of your brain and go, no, well, looky here, you know, one, two, three, maybe this is a problem. And so I think these tools allow a different skill set to be applied, and maybe a better skill set than just a strictly numerical skill set.
And if we keep the use of these products pretty simple and intuitive, then we find adoption grows. And we've adopted, you know, and I think we've been really successful being able to have licensing options for our customers that allow for them to expand the use of these applications. Just about anybody who has to sift through information, analyze data, and make decisions.
Now, I was just thinking about information builders. Perhaps they're working with a bank that my friend Mr. X had his credit card with, and maybe information builders was the one that flagged and said, whoa, red light, what's this crazy guy doing? He never buys anything because he's broke all the time because he got so many kids. He buys a $2,000 couch because the kids jump on the couch. Maybe they have a couch jumping alert or something, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's this, again, a real-world application. And you have to have these applications work in real time or near real time. You know, for us, being able to give a customer the tool to be able to say, when a condition changes, send off an email or flag this and be able to notify somebody immediately. Building in those real time alerts means that in your credit card example, I'm going to get a call immediately from the credit card company rather than next week when perhaps, you know, that card could have been used, you know, fraudulently by somebody 5 or 10 times.
And we talk about the post office here, but let's go up north here to Baltimore and the folks at CMS who work with medical payments. And I just think of using some of these tools in the area of medical payments. I mean, it seems like that would be, I mean, if I were information builders, I'd probably park my office right near the CMS office and buy coffee for everyone who's walking in the door there. I mean, it seems like that's where the application is, especially the amount of money that's going through Medicare and Medicaid. It's incredible, isn't it?
It is. And I think that those are the application areas that we're targeting because we can see a real hard return on investment. There's not a lot of money for new programs right now in the federal government. So things that are going to get funded have to have a return on investment. It can't be a lot of subjective, well, this is great, you know, our people feel better about, you know, the jobs that they're doing. They got to feel better about the jobs that they're doing, but there has to be a real hard return on investment.
Well, it's almost like in the commercial world, and this is where you've earned your stripes. You've earned your stripes in the commercial world where you can reduce risk and pay for itself. And that's the amazing part with the post office is that the ROI, the return on investment, comes so quickly that an agency can look at this software and go, well, it's an investment, but guess what? It's going to be paid for in the first 6 months, maybe the first year, and then it's gravy from then on. It's an interesting application, especially in the medical area. Just the numbers I've seen coming out of CMS are just astonishing as far as what's going to happen and only projected to increase over the next 5 to 10 years. Let's take a break. When we come back, talk more about personal technology and talk about predictive analytics. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Bill Lochten. He is the director of Federal Systems Group for a company called Information Builders.
Here's Alfred Rivera, Director of Computing Services, DISA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Defense Cloud Computing, sponsored by HP.
We're going to have a new process in terms of the acquisition and the policy processes. They're going to change the way we do agile development across the Department of Defense. Mm-hmm. We're going to have in place a technology that allows us to do virtual agile development from development to test to production. We're going to have this coalition of capabilities between our communities that do development.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to Federal News.
newsradio.com.
No doubt, Cloud's promise is appealing. Wary about the return on investments, risks, governance? Let the experience of HP guide you to cost-effective, secure solutions. Cloud solutions are a dynamic addition to traditional IT. Open up new ways to source, deliver, and govern highly scalable and flexible services. HP can help you navigate this new paradigm by blending their hardware, software, consulting, and managed services expertise. Make cloud a viable option for mission-critical needs. Shape your own cloud with HP. Visit hp.com/government/cloud.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Facing a new day, delivering services efficiently, improving citizens' lives, Booz Allen Hamilton supports the most important challenges of government, from defense and economic security to health and cyber solutions. Booz Allen strategy and technology consultants partner with clients to deliver results that endure. Whether managing today's issues or looking beyond the horizon, clients can count on Booz Allen to help them be ready for what's next. BoozAllen.com/ready for what's next.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
The website of the week is the Google Transparency Report. Now, this site includes an interactive map, so you can click on different countries. The Chinese officials consider censorship demands to be state secrets, so we cannot disclose that information at this time. This can show traffic patterns. If a country blocks internet access, you can immediately see this. You can see if any countries are blocking internet traffic. The Google Transparency Report.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070. Ackerman. Security.com.
You can help the Army Historical Foundation honor the soldiers of yesterday and today. Go to armyhistory.org to learn how you can help build the National Museum of the U.S. Army. The museum will be the Army's national landmark, preserving the sacrifice of every man and woman who has worn the Army uniform since 1775. Visit armyhistory.org today and honor the Army service of every generation.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Temin and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Bill Lochten. He is the director of the Federal Systems Group for a company called Information Builders. Been around a long time And that's my series of questions coming up. A long time. I ask you some tough questions here about your past. Are you ready for this nerd test here, Bill?
I'm ready.
Here's the big nerd test. So, when was the year of your first computer?
My first computer was a IBM XT 10 megabyte hard drive, which stored about as much today that you could store maybe probably 10 songs on.
It was probably $3,000.
Yeah, well, actually, it was a used model, and I thought it was the neatest thing ever. But then after I tried to load application software on it at that time, it usually crashed.
And what year was that then?
It was the turn of the decade, so probably 1989, I guess.
1990.
Yeah.
Wow, boy, I was just in grade school.
Yeah.
Year of your first cell phone?
1986. I can remember it because it was Bell Atlantic, and they installed the phone in the car. And it was about...
Wow. And they don't even tell the kids that now because they're not going to believe it. Because, oh, that's the dumbest thing I ever had a kid driving around with a phone in your car. You just have to go to your car and make a phone call? Exactly what it was. Or find a phone booth. Yeah.
37 cents a minute. Oof. So you kept your conversations.
Yeah, you. Real quick. What kind of operating system do you have at home?
Windows.
Well, for Linux, you'd make some points there, but we'll just accept that one. Type of home connection, anything fancy, any kind of satellite stuff or regular cable?
No, all through cable.
Okay. Type of mobile phone you have? Is this a feature phone? I guess it's a smartphone, huh?
Smartphone, okay. Because of all the email.
Yeah.
You know, it's a BlackBerry device, and it's been for quite a while.
BlackBerry. Okay, my Canadian folks. And how many apps do you have on your BlackBerry?
I got about 20 now.
20.
Yeah.
That's reasonable. And you have a tablet device.
I do. Use the iPad. Love it.
Okay, iPad. That's getting nerd points. Yeah. And how many or which social networking sites do you participate in?
You know, LinkedIn is the only one that I use on a routine basis. Our company does a fair amount of stuff with Facebook and Twitter, and you know I have things for work that are posted there, but for personal use, nah.
Yeah, I don't do Facebook either. I just do LinkedIn. I'm starting to follow a lot of people on Twitter, believe it or not. It seems to be a lot more information than I realized before. And the most important question, the last book you read, was it a piece of paper or electronic?
Electronic.
Like, well, you get some pretty good nerd points here. Kind of solid. The phone in the car really gets you nerd points. You know, I think the nerdometer is kind of leaning, kind of making it move here towards the higher end here. So it's kind of interesting. Getting back to more serious topics here. You know, the federal government's going to be pressed to do a whole lot more with less. There's going to be some financial difficulties here. And I don't think I have to go on a ledge to say that, you know, a lot of listeners may have to look at the money that's going out and may have to give you guys a call just to say, hey, information builders, why don't you come in and take a look at my system and see if you can save us some money. Maybe there's a way we can, you know, not reduce expense here. Maybe we can take and bring in more money that we're accidentally paying or overpaying. It seems like, you know, there's going to be a lot of problems coming in 4 to 5 years for a lot of agencies, especially involving payments. Would you say that's true, Bill?
Absolutely true. And we're seeing this at Treasury. We're seeing this at agencies like Social Security Administration. It's absolutely a number one issue for a lot of our government leaders. And I consider this to be one of the biggest challenges and actually one of the biggest opportunities for the federal government over the next few years.
What about mobile? I mean, you can't really walk out the door until you see someone with a mobile device like you have there. 55 million tablets going to be sold this year. It's a tsunami of tablets. I mean, it's just incredible. Where do you see this headed, and how is this going to impact people doing predictive analytics like your company?
First of all, we're running our applications today on these devices and have been for quite some time. So we're running our web focus applications on the iPad, on the Android. You know, I'm getting information in, you know, I think in beautiful resolution down at my smartphone. It's not really the issue of being able to deploy the applications. It's more around the kind of the bureaucratic issues that have to be solved and around security, and is probably the biggest issue that still people are grappling with within the agencies. When they get that resolved and when they're able to say, we feel comfortable with our government users, you know, working away from the office, perhaps viewing information on their smartphone, sitting on a train, they're going to find that the value of business intelligence, the value of predictive analytics is going to skyrocket at that point. And I think that they're going to find a way to get around this issue over the next few years.
So is it a fair summary to say that your company tries to do is tries to go beyond the dashboard and take that information that the dashboard may tell you. For example, my dashboard, my car says, well, you know, got to get some gasoline. So what your information is trying to do is going to try to say, well, you know, if you're going to drive to St. Louis, you will need $60 worth of gasoline in the next 2 weeks, to take a simple illustration here. So it's beyond a basic dashboard. It's maybe projecting and helping you budget in the future for that trip to St. Louis.
Exactly right. And then it's also being able to give the user, whether or not they're an analyst, whether or not they're an executive, the information when they want it, in the format that they want it, at the time that they want it. And most of the time, that's not going to be sitting behind a desk when it's convenient between the hours of 9 and 5.
And they can play out some what-if scenarios. What if I want to drive to St. Louis via Chicago? There's one option there. What if all of a sudden I don't have money for the tolls along the way and I've got to go this is either these silly little scenarios, but people have to plan what's going to happen. Okay, here's the objectives for my agency. What if my staff gets reduced by 10% next year? I get hit. Then what? Huh? And that is a predictive analytics application right there.
Absolutely it is.
What happens when my staff gets taken from me? And I can see a lot of staff getting dinged here. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen here in the next few months. They talk about this resolution making the big changes in 2013. I don't want to be negative here, but if you see what's going on in Europe, see what's going on in a lot of different areas here, there could be some people really looking at the bottom line. And like earlier I said, like it's a, you know, you're married, you got two babies, your one income's coming in at the end of the month, and you're looking at all of a sudden you're counting your pennies where you never even considered counting pennies before.
We're talking to agencies that are really grappling with the possibility that a significant amount of their workforce will retire and they won't have the ability necessarily to backfill those slots immediately or if all. So being able to forecast what the requirements will be at the agency level, what the requirements will be from their contractors, is a big deal right now. We're seeing that this is an area that is going to really get some legs as the economy gets better. Because right now, a lot of folks are hanging on. They've gone beyond when they thought they were going to retire because their government plans shrunk in value. They've decided to stick around and continue to work. But I think, you know, we're all hoping that the economy continues to improve. And when it does, I think that, you know, we're going to see the effects of people deciding to retire.
Well, I think what would make headlines in the Washington Post would be agency gets slashed 10%. But I think this is a much more subtle headline where the 10% reduction happens through attrition. And there's no big headlines. It's like, oh, we have 180 people. Now we have 162. Well, now we have 158. Well, it's not going to make headlines, but all of a sudden you're down 20% that you had the year before. And how do you accomplish the same task you have now that very subtly over a 24-month period ties your hands?
Right. So uncovering areas of waste, areas of improper payments, being able to work smarter with the information that your agency needs to be able to do their job, those things are becoming even more paramount over the next few years.
And especially, I think, for a 35-year-old who's working for an agency and plans to spend his career there, and he's looking at old geezers like me about to retire, and he's saying, well, how is this going to impact me? And I could care less because I'm going to be in Florida.
Right.
Or you will be in Florida, someone else will be in Florida. But for a 35-year-old, I know a couple 30-year-old who just started with the FAA, and I'm sure they're looking at the system going, what's all well and good, John? You have fun down in Florida, but how is it going to impact my agency? How is it going to impact my being able to handle whatever tasks we have at hand?
Exactly.
Predictive analytics kind of puts it down to earth, doesn't it?
It does.
We're going to have to take and end the show here now. We spent the last hour talking about a company called Information Builders. They've been around a while. They've helped all kinds of different agencies save money, and the ROI on some of the projects that they've worked with is very, very significant. They have a product called Web Focus and a product called I, like the letter I, capital W-A-Y-I, Way Software. And they could Google those terms and come to the company. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Great. Sure. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Bill Lochten, who is the director of the Federal Systems Group at Information Builders. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.